Hello and welcome to The Intersection. We're the podcast where marketing, sales, operations, and technology stop working in silos and start driving real growth for building materials brands. I'm Megan Kavinsky, CEO of Point to Point. We're a sales and marketing agency helping mid-market building materials manufacturers build the marketing engine and sales culture they've never had and always wanted. Each episode, I'm joined by Steve Coffey, Senior Managing Partner of Coffey & Co., a growth and strategy firm focused in building materials, and Deneen Harper, founder of DHX Consulting and a fractional CMO for, you guessed it, building materials brands. We're here to close the gaps between marketing and sales, strategy and operations, technology and execution, because in those gaps, you bleed margin, and we're going to show you how to stop it. No fluff, just what works. Hello, and welcome to The Intersection. I'm Megan Kavinsky. I'm the CEO of Point to Point. We are a marketing firm built for mid-market building product manufacturers. And I'm joined by my esteemed co-hosts. I'm going to start with Steve Coffey. He is the Senior Managing Partner of Coffey & Co., a growth and strategy firm also focused in building materials. And Deneen Harper, she is a founder of DHX Consulting. She operates as a fractional CMO, and she's a partner in the Coffey & Co. business. So if you haven't got the clue by now, this podcast is for building product manufacturers. So welcome, Steve. Welcome, Deneen. Thrilled to be here with you guys today.
Nice to be here.
It's great to be here with you, Megan.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. So our topic today is your brand, your messaging, and audience blindness to it. And when I say audience blindness, I'm not talking about, oh, you're not using the right channel mix, or, you know, you're not showing up at the right places in the decision journey. I'm talking that you are showing up, you're doing everything right, and nobody cares. Nobody's listening because you're talking about features instead of benefits. You're giving a list of things that are technical or very way further down the buyer journey in terms of specifications than you are about emotion and outcomes. And you're taking an opportunity to turn someone, a customer, an architect, a dealer, whoever it may be, from someone who is able to see their vision through your product to someone who's just sort of like, same as everybody else because the messaging isn't right. So we see this all the time. Like, you know, when we get started with clients, one of the very first things we look at is messaging. And we do this exercise where if you can take like your hand and you can put it over the logo, and it could be anyone else in that category, or more often than not, it's any building materials brand. And it could say this, they could say the same thing. You're not doing enough. You know, like if your claim or what you're talking about is for installers is like faster install time, or architects is just, you know, some sort of basic specify with confidence, you know, like every building product manufacturer's website says specify with confidence. Every building product manufacturer's website says faster install time. So what are the real reasons, the emotional reasons that someone has to gravitate towards you versus your competitor? Because if you're not building that emotion and that loyalty, you're leaving opportunity on the table. You're probably talking more about price than you are about benefit, which is just a race to the bottom. You're losing opportunities because people can't see the differentiation and the value. So your top line is suffering. And you probably are losing people to the competition. Your market share could be shrinking or not as big as it needs to, as it could be, because there's not enough meat for someone to grab onto there. So having a message that doesn't resonate is costing you money in the market, although that is very hard to quantify exactly how that shows up. So I'm curious, Deneen, Steve, you know, this is something that I'm sure you guys see all the time too. Like, this is common, right? It's not just me that sees this in the industry. Or if it is,
I see
we can just end the episode. This is a Megan problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see this all the time. it's really common to see messaging that is different in different channels. So on your website, it's very spec heavy, very about tech, very focused on the pro, where in your marketing communications, your advertising, you might be really feature heavy. And you talk about, oh, it has this rating, it has this performance, it can do this. And then sales is just talking about, well, I can cut the price. And people, to your point, they buy on outcomes, they buy on emotion. They want to understand why your product is much better than someone else. So just by aligning that across all your channels and getting that message and the buy-in across all of your teams is really important. And things that really resonate are things like claims. Instead of saying, oh, I install faster, quantify that. If a typical product installs in 30 minutes, say mine installs in 23, but actually do the test. Mm-hmm. Actually go in, videotape it, show it, prove it, and then, or give tips and tricks and how you can cut your install time. That's what's really going to make the difference. And then these are the things that sales can really use instead of going in and saying, I'm going to cut the price. Once you quantify all of those things that really make your product stand out, now sales has the opportunity to go in and increase price. That's how you gain value for your product.
Yeah. I think, well, there's all sorts of research out there. And of course, I don't have it at my fingertips the way I'd want to. But there's research out there that B2B decisions are infinitely more emotional than B2C. You know, like, but you see, a Charmin commercial is going to make you cry more so than a siding one will, right? You know, and especially,
I've never cried at a Charmin commercial. Have you?
Maybe not a
Charmin. Maybe Budweiser.
One. Yeah, or Huggies, some babies, you know, something like that. Maybe the Volvo one with the kids going off to college.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
There you go.
The next episode will be what makes Steve cry. Yeah.
Not a Charmin.
That'll be a tough
one.
Not
Charmin.
But those tend to play on emotions more than we do in B2B and in building materials. I mean, we are. We're a tough industry. You know, we literally tough. Our products are tough. Our people are tough. What we do is complicated. So it's a whole other set of emotions that go along. But, you know, you think about your job and you think about the decisions of your partners, both people and products that you choose to work with. Those are some of the most emotional decisions that you can make, because this is how you provide for your family, how you build your reputation, how you build your business, you build your practice of your craft of whatever it is. And so we can't dismiss the fact that these are emotional type decisions for architect, for a building owner, for an installer, a general contractor, a dealer. All of that is about how they are building their world, their personal world, as well as their professional world.
Well, I just have one point to add. And Deneen, I think you made this point, but what I see is that marketing teams do a ton of work alongside the sales team. But then what I'm finding in talking to more sales managers and reps, and then talking to, you know, an architect or a builder, there's a huge gap in between what the builder actually learns and what they walk away with and what the sales rep think that he delivered. And they oftentimes, because of the complexity of the conversation or the nuance of the situation, they revert away from the hard work that marketing teams put into the messaging, and they'll revert back to tribal knowledge, old school sales tactics that would revert to price or something like that.
Yeah. I know what works, right? I've been doing this for decades, and
I know what my
customer wants, what they want to hear, right? We hear that all the time.
And I think that is literally money wasted.
Yeah.
So I think this is also an investment discussion. Is your investment, do you have ROI on the hard work that marketing is doing and that the organization is contributing? So I see it almost every single conversation.
Yeah.
And what pops up all the time is that a lot of times the messaging is really geared towards one audience. But in this business, you have several audiences. You know, from a manufacturer's point of view, they're rarely thinking about the contractor. right? Or on a commercial side of it, they're rarely thinking about the project manager who's going to value engineer your product unless they have a really clear understanding of those benefits and why that product is the one that needs to be used. So if you're a manufacturer and you're only talking to the pro is still multifaceted. So you really have to have those common threads that are sewn throughout, but spoken in a slightly different way so that that conversation translates from the sales team to the contractor. That contractor ends up walking away and understanding exactly what that salesperson thought they were delivering. And that ends up being delivered into the job site. And I think that's the real unlock.
Well, you're right, Deneen, because the way that we think about it is, you know, you start and when you're trying to get a specified product sold, your first customer, who's arguably your most important, also buys nothing ever. You know, like they specify it, they have no ability to actually purchase said product for you, except for maybe in a design build firm. And then it moves over to the GC, who's going to bid the project out, and it's going to be a mix of themselves, subcontractors, and dealers who kind of work together to make decisions influenced by the building owner and the architect, right? And so who is the decision maker, right? And how do you keep this whole buying posse on the same page? And if you're selling to the installer based on price, you know, and giving the impression that it's just about a price point, how are you going to ever hold the value with the architect and with the building? You know, like you're in a tough situation. And I also thought your point, Steve, about the salesperson who's been in the industry for decades and probably really does know their customers extremely well and what they want to hear. Super important person to have at the table when you're crafting your messaging, right? Messaging should not be an exercise that marketing does alone, right? Messaging should be an exercise that includes the whole team, right? So when we talk about we're the intersection of sales, marketing, operations, and product, every single one of those people should be involved in some part of giving input to crafting the message, right? Because the sales team does know what the customer is looking for. Operations does know about lead times or efficiency, QA, those types of things. Product knows about how, you know, you launch a new product, maybe you want to update your whole messaging so that you can be bigger than what you used to be about before. And what does the roadmap look like? I mean, it is so important to have all of those people there and then to also have the customer there, right? And not rely on your sales team alone to tell you what the customer is looking for, because they don't necessarily know the right questions to ask, or maybe they can get a question or two in, but then that how you go a level deeper and what you're really looking for, you know, it how you respond with additional questions based on the input that the customer is giving you is not something the sales team's not trained in that kind of thinking, the way that we're not trained in, you know, the sales level thinking. So, you know, it's an important nuance and differentiation.
I would agree with you there. And I think it's also really important for marketing to go in the field to really understand what's happening on the job site and all the different phases of construction, because there's so many phases and there's different people that are involved in each of those phases. So how your understanding of that pass through from phase to phase to audience type is really important to capture. And you can't capture that any other way.
So I'm curious, and I don't want to rabbit trail our conversation too much here, but both of you have been in a lot of conference room tables. You sat around those tables, you know, with a lot of stakeholders throughout those departments and things like that, to define what the messaging needs to be. So I'm just curious, Megan, you kind of alluded to who needs to be in the room. I'm just curious to both of you, what does that exercise look like? Like, let's say I'm a mid-market manufacturer and I'm trying to define that. I'm trying to assess, is my messaging reaching the audience? What does it even look like? What needs to happen in that room if a company is going to come together and say, you know what, I wonder if that's the case for us, or I want to get better at that. What do I need to do? Who do I need to have in the room?
Well, the interview is really important, but even more important is the way that you phrase the questions. So you need open-ended questions that don't direct that individual to a specific answer. So you can't bring your bias into the room. You need to, you know, like we said, bring in all of those players, but ask, start to get them to tell the story and sit back and listen. Don't really try to evolve the conversation unless you're going to ask a question to try to dig a little deeper.
The way that we do it is we don't actually solve it in that room, Steve. We start in that room by asking a lot of questions about the business, because the best thing that sales and product and operations can give marketing is additional perspective on the business that can help inform the messaging and the marketing strategy. So we're asking a lot of questions about, what are your goals 3 years from now? Which are your highest margin products, right? What do you think your ideal customer looks like? Who do you think they are? Why are they that? You know, how niche down do you get? We ask a lot more questions about the business itself than we do about the messaging. You know, the message, we're like, what do you think the messaging? You know, a lot of people are like, well, that's why you're here. You know, so, and then we do an evaluation of competitors, and we do customer interviews where the client is not involved. And we try and talk to at least two of those buying groups that you outlined, Deneen, earlier, because we got to make sure we got at least, there's typically maybe two core audiences that are less known within a building product manufacturer. If you're talking to the installer and you're doing a pretty good job there, maybe you don't really know what your dealer or your architect is thinking about. So let's focus there. And then we can bring all that tribal knowledge together and come up with some better messaging. But I do want to take a quick pause before we move forward in our conversation to tell or ask our listeners that if you are finding value in this conversation and you're thinking to yourself, I wish somebody else was here with me, guess what? They could be. Just take a moment, send them a link to the podcast, tell them you want to catch up after they've had a listen and talk about these topics. So I'll give you a second here so that you can send the email and that you can subscribe. And now we're back in it. So let's move to the next part of this conversation, which assumes messaging nirvana. We have crafted this message that we want to shout from the hilltops, right? And in marketing, we have somewhat of a controlled environment and that we have creative reviews and, you know, partners that we can lead in getting the message and making sure that it's happening correctly. And then we have the field. And in the field, we have less control, where the sales team and getting it indoctrinated into how they're actually showing up in front of customers is a lot harder, or even getting our operations team to think about, you know, the message that we're putting out there, how are we delivering it in, from an operational perspective? Because when you do that messaging, that's something important that we didn't talk about, is that it should feel a little uncomfortable, not a lot uncomfortable, but a little uncomfortable, because you don't want to be doing this type of messaging and adjustment of your brand every year. You want to make sure you're giving yourself room for growth in that three-year vision. Like, is it big enough for where we are 3 years from now? You know, like, is it something we can do today, but we'll be even better then, right? So you got to give yourself some room to grow. So, but it is that getting the whole team on the same page about saying this over and over and over again, because your brand is every interaction or every touch point someone has with you. And so your sales team's a really big part of that. So Deneen, what are your tricks? How do you get an entire organization on board when you update the messaging?
There's typically themes that you hear across the board, right? So it's, how do you find those little nuggets that customer service is talking about, ops is talking about, sales is talking about, marketing is talking about, and then building that message, building that framework that ties those threads together and also ties your audience to that thread. So typically if you're talking about an outcome, everybody can agree on an outcome, right? Especially if you're quantifying it like we talked about earlier, everybody can agree on that. So finding that main statement, or these are the key pieces, the key elements, and you promote that. So you go to sales, you give them those three, those key messages, and all the way down the line, when you're talking to your different audiences, you just make sure that those key elements are what's included. How it comes out, the exact verbiage, they're all slightly different because each audience is slightly different in how they're going to absorb it. But as long as that key note goes across the board and that thread is sewn, you should be good.
Yeah, I agree. And I should have mentioned that that's part of, like, when you're doing that discovery with your team, one of the number one things you want to get out of the room is also, what are the top sales tools that you're using when you're in front of a customer? Because as soon as the messaging is updated, you got to update those sales tools, because it's going to be way easier for the sales team to say on script if it's right in front of them, you know, and it makes it easier. It's hard. It's like learning a new language. You know, it's hard to, and especially so many people in this industry have been either in this industry or with that company for so long, which can be a huge benefit and a wonderful thing, but it's, you're undoing decades of learned behavior, and it's not going to happen overnight. So you can't think like, I launched it and it is so, right? It is not so. It has to be constantly reinforced internally as well as externally, right?
I couldn't agree with you more. I can't tell you how many times I see marketing run a new campaign and it's like they forget about sales. They even forget about internal. So, you know, they'll run a new campaign. They haven't talked to ops to see if they have capacity. They haven't talked to sales and given them new tools to support what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have salespeople come back and say, oh, I saw this new ad.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening? That happens more times than not. So I think it's really up to marketing, to your point, to when you are doing these things, it has to flow through all those channels and not just kind of build it and they will come.
That's really true, Deneen. But kind of piggybacking on your point earlier, Megan, about sales team and updating the tools, I think a lot of what, let's say, you know, VP of sales, even CROs, sales managers hear is that, okay, we're doing away with old school sales tactics. We're undoing, you know, decades of learned behavior. And I oftentimes find that we're not doing away with old school sales tactics. We are using pieces of technology to facilitate applying those old school tactics in a much better way. So it's learned knowledge that we're carrying forward and utilizing tools to do that, combined with the hard work of a marketing team and marketing to do that. So I think it's moving forward with what you know in a more effective way. It's not doing out with, you know, old school sales that we know works. We're using technology to facilitate better sales. And so I think that's a really important component to add there.
Yeah. I mean, as much as we talk about digital, you know, buying behavior and influencing all of these things, I mean, I'm a very firm believer in old school sales tactics. There's a marketing component to point to point, and there's a sales component, a sales training or sales doing component to what we offer also. And the sales doing component is all about making phone calls. It is not about emailing. It's phone calls and text messages really at the core. And so much of what is happening or what we can do through marketing, sales teams are like, well, I don't have a reason to reach out, you know, and it's like absent a new product launch or something like that. But as we marketers, we might be able to arm them with some better content or things like that, that like, hey, we had this new project and it made me think of what we had worked on together, you know, and I wanted to reach out and say, hey, you know, it makes it seem more off. And so we have to be creating. They can be digital assets. It could be something on the website. It could be a piece of social content. It could be an email. It could be any of these things. But it's giving the sales team the ammo and the confidence that it's okay to proactively outreach, because I legitimately have a reason and it doesn't feel as forced or inauthentic. So I'm a big believer in the and both. And as much as, you know, in our world, there is a lot of legacy relationship building and things, there's a lot of people on the sales side that are much more reactive than proactive, you know? And so marketing's doing their job right, the sales team's going to be way more confident getting that message out there and sharing things proactively that's going to lift the results of sales and marketing, you know, and it's going to make the organization just growth trajectory crazy. Yep. All right, guys. Well, I think there's a couple things that our audience could take away from the conversation today. So one is, if you're updating your messaging, make sure you got, you know, someone from all of these different departments has a seat at the table. Marketing led, but everyone has a voice. Everyone has a role. If you are in marketing at a building products manufacturer and you have not been out in the field, get out of the office and get in the field. This is a big thing that I've seen change post-COVID with more remote teams. You need to find someone within your organization that can get you in front of a customer so you can experience what it's really like. You're going to learn so much more about your product and how it needs to be positioned the more often you can do a ride along. And you know what? It doesn't even always have to be in person. A lot of these could be virtual. It's not as great, but they could be virtual. Or if your sales team is recording their sales calls, which a lot are now, you could be listening and auditing them afterwards and putting them into an AI tool and learning so much from that. You got to be like soaking those things in, right? And I think the other big takeaway is once your messaging is launched, your work has just started, right? It takes constant reinforcement. It takes, you know, really making sure that people understand why you're saying it's going to take a year, maybe longer, because so much of this is likely legacy behaviors and ideas and words that people are used to saying. So be patient, support your team, applaud those that are doing it well, celebrate the successes, and keep coaching everyone else until they get all the way there. So Steve, Deneen, that was a delight. And for our listeners, if you found value in what we had to say today, again, I'd encourage you to share and I'd encourage you to subscribe so that you can be alerted when our next episode is launched. Thanks, everybody.